BP has failed to strike an oil exploration deal in the Arctic.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. British oil giant BP had planned to team up with Russia's state-controlled oil firm in a deal that would have opened up part of the Arctic for exploration. But the company ran into a little trouble, the BBC's Rebecca Singer reports.
This was to be the deal that showed BP was back in business after the disastrous spill in the Gulf of Mexico last year. Its chief executive, Bob Dudley, believed a tie-up with Rosneft would prove BP was still a major player and could deliver growth. Nick McGregor is an oil analyst at Redmayne Bentley in London. He says BP has lost a lot of credibility.
It was potentially a good deal, but that they didn't stitch this up, first of all, and get a binding pre-agreement from their existing Russian partners really does call into question quite a lot about the way this deal and BP's being managed. And what people really want to see at the moment is absolute confidence in BP's management, not extra question marks.
McGregor says Dudley should have known better, especially since he'd previously headed up BP's Russian operations. BP had tried to reach a compromise with its billionaire partners, who argued any investment in Russian oil had to be done through them. But Rosneft is now free to strike a deal with other companies to look for oil in the Russian Arctic, and one of those is thought to be ExxonMobil. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
European finance ministers are meeting in Brussels today, looking at whether Greece will need another round of financial help. The ministers already approved a $111 billion bailout package for Portugal. Reporter Christopher Worth is in London with the latest. Hi, Chris.
Hey, good morning.
So I remember Greece received more than $150 billion in bailout money last year. Is it going to need more help?
Greece has about an $85 billion funding gap in its budget, and it's really going to struggle to pay back what it already owes. For a while now, we've been hearing from economists that the only way Greece is going to tackle this problem is by restructuring its debt. In other words, Greece simply wouldn't pay the full amount it owes, and investors could be out a lot of money. But the question is how to minimize that pain. And what's emerged out of these talks is that, you know, this week is a new pleasant-sounding term, which is reprofiling.
Reprofiling. What is that?
Well, it's sort of a compromise. Instead of reducing the amount of Greece's debt, what you're doing is extending the time Greece has to pay it back. So say an investor bought a 2-year bond, they may get their money back in 10 years instead. And it may not make investors happy to have to wait for their money, but those investors are still going to get all of their money.
Can it work, Chris?
That's questionable. Here's what Marie Duran of Oxford Economics had to say.
It would need to be accompanied by a new bailout package, as well as Greece saying that it will not be able to repay the total amount of its debt.
Most economists you speak with say you just can't get away from the idea that Greece is going to have to restructure all that money it owes.
Christopher Worth reporting from London. Chris, thanks.
Hey, thanks.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are mixed at the moment. Home Depot reported weaker than expected quarterly sales, but profits rose a little. New York's attorney general is reportedly investigating mortgage securities at three big banks, including Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, and Bank of America. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 47 points to close at 12,548.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality. By Manta, connecting millions of small business owners with new customers every day. On the web at manta.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
In Florida, half of all homeowners are underwater on their mortgages, but now a glimmer of hope. In Broward County, home of Fort Lauderdale, well, it saw the biggest year-over-year jump in median home prices in 5 years. From station WLRN in Miami, Kenny Malone filed this report.
What we have here, this is a typical three-bedroom, two-bath.
This is sound of me standing with realtor John Luca in front of a home he sold in February.
So I was thinking if there were going to be a movie preview for this, it would go like this.
Luca's been selling in Broward since the 70s. It's been so bad lately, I figured he deserved a little over-dramatization for this particular sale.
In a single-family home with three bedrooms.
John Luca does it again.
To understand, you need to know just how bad things got for Broward real estate. From the peak 5 years ago, home prices have fallen by half. Florida just received federal money for a program called the Hardest Hit Fund. Broward led the state in applications. Terry Bursack, a local leader with the Realtor Board of Directors, told me asking how the real estate crash affected Broward County.
It's like asking how Hurricane Andrew may have affected everyone in South Florida.
Which is to say, yeah, some neighborhoods weren't hit as hard, but it's a hurricane. So in that context, John Luca's sale was heroic. Luca told the owners to not expect anything above 260, if even that. Much to his surprise, the home got 265.
It's good to have happy customers and to see also that there's a little bit of movement in the market.
The best phrase would be a squeeze play.
Bill Hardin is the director of real estate studies at Florida International University. He says the movement in Broward actually comes from restriction. In the past few months, there's been a sort of freeze on foreclosure processing. Several major law firms are under investigation for how they handle the paperwork in foreclosures. Hardin says that forced lenders to double-cross their T's and triple-dot their I's before putting distressed property back on the market.
It takes now over 600 days from start to finish of that process.
And so inventory has dropped, prices have kicked up.
So yeah, at first it looks like everything is copacetic.
Brad Hunter is head of national consulting for the realty tracking group Metro Study.
But then there's, of course, the elephant in the middle of the room, and that is shadow supply.
There's still loads of foreclosure properties stuck in the pipeline. So the question for realtors is, will that come as a trickle or a tsunami and flood the market? In Broward County, I'm Kenny Malone for Marketplace.
And finally, Dan Gorski will eat Big Mac number 25,000 today. The Wisconsin man has been eating the McDonald's two-patty special sauce favorite for nearly four decades. Two a day, every day. Gorski says he's in good health, his cholesterol is under control, although his taste buds may be asking for something a little different. You can see a snippet of Gorski in the documentary Super Size Me at our website, marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
You think China's economic rise is something new? Yeah, not really.
But China is a huge country, which throughout of its history has considered itself the central kingdom of the universe that they knew. So they have a tradition of being the dominant country.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Henry Kissinger reflects on China. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.